Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time now for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show, lots of good people involved. And the host of the program is Carol Marks, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism. Carol will be here shortly talking with Valerie Plame. She's well known as the key player in the real-life drama of a CIA covert operative whose cover was intentionally exposed by members of the Bush administration in 2003. She'll be talking to Carol about her new novel, Blowback, a Vanessa Pearson novel published by Blue Rider Press. But first, here's part one of a two-part interview that we'll be presenting to you on the program today, a conversation that I recently had with Steve Fassberg. He's the CEO and founder of the original Brooklyn Water Bagel Company. Steve, it's a pleasure to be talking to you. I have really enjoyed your bagels and your products. I've been to one of your restaurants in Florida, and the people who attended our conference in Los Angeles two times, our annual convention of radio broadcasters, were treated to catering by the original Brooklyn Water Bagel Company, and we became involved with you because of the connection to Larry King. So it's a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Now, the story behind your chain of restaurants is fascinating. It's called the Original Brooklyn Water Bagel Company, and I'd imagine you have to really have a memorable and a great product to have a name like that. When you first came up with the name, did people say, no one will remember it?
Yeah, that's true. Well, we had to get the word water in there. You know, that was a significant difference. We felt that it was a little bit lengthy. However, it was a very unique product, and it needed to be reflected, you know, in the tagline and the name because, you know, water is at the center, at the core of what we do.
So you use the water that you're manufacturing in all of your products, not just the bagels.
It's at the center of every soup, every stock, every gravy, all ice cubes, all coffee, all soda, all beverages, all start with water. And water's been the most overlooked aspect of food service since the beginning of time. All we did was we figured out what makes great pizza and bagels in New York has got to be what's in that water. So we, you know, went on a little bit of a quest to try to solve, you know, some of the mineral content and some of the things that needed to go in while taking out some of the things that weren't healthy, like fluoride and ammonia and chlorine and lead extrusions from pipes and pharmaceutical trace elements and those kinds of things. And we came up with a laboratory-grade version of Brooklynized water.
Fascinating, Steve. How exactly does it work?
Very simple. It takes any water source in the world. It could be in China. It could be in L.A. It could be in New York. It strips it down to perfect H2O, two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, laboratory-grade zero water with the perfect pH. And what we do is we then added back the mineral content that was found in Brooklyn, New York water 50 years ago, because 50 years ago, water was much cleaner. The water that flows from the Adirondack Mountains into the five boroughs, those are the minerals that make up what's in Brooklyn water. And we basically recreated that, and at the same time took out all the harmful things. So, you know, we have a system that can do up to 5,000 gallons per day in each location. So each unit is actually a water treatment facility. It feeds the entire restaurant, not just for great pizza and bagels and food products, but for all soup, water, iced tea, coffee, soda, ice cubes, etc. It's feeding the entire restaurant. So the entire platform is based on health, well-being, a superior product, aggressive price points, and more importantly, you know, the healthiest Brooklynized products in the world that can now be recreated for the first time. So, no, it's a lot, but it really is about, you know, it's more about science and about, you know, health and wellness as much as it is about, you know, superior products and great bagels.
So basically, the water is a recreation of the water that flowed in Brooklyn 50 years ago, which was probably better than the water there today.
Well, of course, everyone's aware of the fact that water is very different, and no two water systems are identical or even similar. Even in the five boroughs, you know, Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, Staten Island, and the Bronx all have different things in their water because every water municipality treats the water differently. So what we did is we've taken that variable and that moving target, and we standardized it and, you know, started with zero and just added back the things that we need. And, of course, New York water now has lead extrusions and pipes in it because, lead is coming in, leaching into the water system because that water systems over 100 years old. You have fluoride, which, as you know, causes osteoporosis in most recent studies. They found every pharmaceutical trace element in there, everything from lithium to Prozac. There's 38 different strands of bacteria in New York water, none of which are good for baking or healthy. Huh. So we've eliminated all of those things and sort of brought it back before there was industrialized, things happening in the cities, and brought it back to where it went in the mountains 50 years ago.
How in the world could you find out or know what the water was like 50 years ago?
We had to get those records to see what those mineralization footprints look like. So it was sort of like a science project. It was a lot of fun, and of course, recognizing that water was the key ingredient was at the core of this business model and this franchise opportunity. And if we could recreate real, authentic, quality product outside of New York area, we really thought we'd have an invention as much as a concept, and something that was extremely scalable and franchisable, and something that, of course, the whole world would be enamored by.
It's amazing how far the bagel has come in terms of popularity among all different kinds of people.
You know, bagels are no longer ethnic. They're global. It's bread and water. Everybody eats bagels and bread and water. You don't have to be, of course, of any ethnic origin. So we felt it was a very worthwhile, opportunity to really dig in and try to see if we can solve it. And sure enough, we've been able to have great success so far.
I noticed when I was at the restaurant in Palm Beach County that you actually have this processing on display. Is that a demonstration for entertainment purposes, or is that machine with the water actually doing the job?
Okay, well, to your point, I mean, the reason it's out there is because we don't want the people to think this was clever marketing or something that is not real tangible. So, people, as you know, are skeptical, especially New Yorkers. They want to see it and touch it and feel it, and they want to understand it as best they can. And by bringing that out front and center, we want to show the process. We want to explain the importance of water, how it's being processed through the 13 stages, all the impurities that are coming out, how it's being remineralized and recreated with the perfect pH for what we do. And it's overseen by a computer system that's on the wall that has internet access. So every manager or every development agent or at corporate headquarters, we can see exactly what's happening with that water and that development and that store in real time. And it keeps track of maintenance and temperature and volume, and really is a turnkey water solution now for anybody that looks to get involved in our business model. So it really is important to have it out front, because otherwise, a lot of people have said they ship water. A lot of people said they use New York water for this, that, and the other thing. But, water weighs 66 pounds per cubic foot, approximately. It's difficult to ship. It's expensive to ship. It changes its composition with humidity, temperature, and light. It's illegal to transfer across state lines for consumption without FDA approval. You need special containers. The bottom line is that you'd have probably a $6 plain bagel if you could do it. So people that are saying they've done it or are doing it, I question the validity of that claim.
Sounds like you're making some type of scientific progress in terms of water purification. It amazes me that all of this effort and all this energy is going into simply the making of bagels. I would imagine you've been contacted by other industries. I would think the bottled water industry would be real interested in this. Some of the bottled
water. We do have a water bottling component called the Brooklyn Water Bottling Company.
Oh, you do?
We have some new things coming out now. We have the first heart-healthy water with CoQ10 infusion being released this year. We have another product called Be All You Can Be Water, which is going to be our B vitamin water, which is B vitamin infusion that's got some really great flavorings. We have a new berry that is a trademark of ours called Life Berry, because it's about health and wellness. Water is at the center of everything that we do.
Steve, obviously you have a very successful business going here. How about growing here? How big is this thing going to get?
We now want to control growth. We want to have discipline. We don't want to just open stores. We want to award opportunities to people that really want to be ambassadors of our brand and help build our core values, not someone with just a check who can buy it. One of the funny things on our website is you can't, a lot of things money can buy. A Brooklyn Water Bagel franchise is not one of them, because, this is really not about just someone who can write a check. It's about someone who really gets behind the quality of the products, understands the brand, really wants to be an ambassador of what we're trying to create. And, we're very passionate about the best quality products, and slow and steady wins the race. So, we're very atypical when it comes to the other competitors that are also looking to you know, implement a franchise model and grow their brand.
Tell us a bit about the background of this company, Steve. I mean, is it your idea? Did you come up with it?
I started thinking about it when I was 13 years old, when I was bringing bagels to my grandparents in suitcases from New York when they moved here to Florida in 1973. And, you know, I was told then, you know, why do we need to, you know, transport all these seeds and all this nonsense, you know, on a plane? It's not easy. And I was told it's all about the water, and that's the first time I heard it. And that became our registered trademark. That's our national trademark. It's all about the water. It differentiates us from everybody else. And, you know, that was the beginning of it. And, you know, I worked in the banking and the mortgage industry, and I always wanted to, and I've always had restaurants. I've had, you know, a steakhouse, and I've had, you know, sports cafe and kosher delis and drive-through delis, and I just love the food business. And I said, there was a way to find, you know, to really figure out what's in that water to recreate this product, this would be something that would be very, very scalable, very marketable, and it wouldn't include dinner and three meal periods. So, you know, I went into testing about 8 years ago, with bags of flour and rented bakeries and water samples and encrypted the recipe over about, you know, 8 to 10 months and created the rest of the menu. It was sort of a fun project. And, you know, my own wife, who said to me that, you know, I should go back to banking and stop wasting my time. We laugh about it all the time now because the kitchen was filled with flour on a daily basis trying to figure these recipes out. So it ended up actually working out, and she's been able to retire now since then, so it worked out for her.
What is the status of the company now? How many outlets do you have?
Right now we have a total of 17 up and running. Mm-hmm. This year we have a commitment on another 7. It'll take us to 24. Our goal next year, over the next 12 to 18 months, is to double that to get to as close to 50. For what's called our first 50 program, we're going to be building the majority of them corporately. We're not going to be, you know, really looking for franchisees aggressively. However, we're all going to be looking for developers that have unique characteristics that can help us build our brand. Someone that has the acumen and the wherewithal to really, you know, become part of the team, not the typical franchise model. So we'd just rather build them ourselves unless that exceptional developer comes along. Having said that, we're looking at hopefully getting to 50 within the next 24 months. That's the goal.
Wow, very, very impressive. You're also certainly ambassadors of goodwill and publicity for the borough of Brooklyn. Now, you know, you mentioned before a lot of cool people came from Brooklyn, and
yeah,
Brooklyn,
sure.
Brooklyn has a certain mythology about it. I come from Brooklyn, and I certainly appreciate that. certainly Brooklyn has had good times and bad times along the way. How do you feel about the current revitalization efforts in Brooklyn?
It's having a tremendous renaissance, and Brooklyn's got enormous brand equity. Of course, you know, this. If you look at the people that have come out of that, you know, 5 square miles, you know, it makes you think maybe there is something in the water. It really is a unique place. I mean, you would not believe the people that have come from there that, you know, that on our walls and all our stores we try to, you know, convey to, you know, what Brooklyn is about and the core of Brooklyn. But Brooklyn is about a no-nonsense attitude of, you know, the best and the brightest. And it's sort of, you know, I know that wherever you're from, you're proud of it, but Brooklynites are a little bit different. They're extremely passionate, and they're very, very, you know, they have a lot of deep thought about their food, about, you know, about their pizza, about their favorite restaurant, Italian food, so, you know, it's really, you know, the center of the food world. And, you know, and Brooklyn has become now, as you know, with the Brooklyn Nets now coming back there, and you know, the city, the real estate is through the roof, and you can't even get an apartment now in an area that they were giving away 10 years ago. So, you know, the timing is very good for us. I mean, you know, we were going forward with this plan 8 years ago, even before Brooklyn became this, you know, had all this notoriety as of late, but it's become a real, you know, the new Manhattan. The people that can't afford to live in Manhattan are living there, and the city looks entirely different, and now they have a sports team, and, you know, we are, you know, we have a lot of those trademarks that people didn't recognize as being as important way back when. So, you know, it's just wishful thinking and just some very good timing for us.
That's Steve Fassberg, the CEO and founder of the original Brooklyn Water Bagel Company. You can find out more at brooklynwaterbagels.com. And we're not done with Steve. He's going to be back for part two of our conversation in the second half hour of our program. I'm Michael Harrison. You're listening to A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. And now it's time for the star of the show, Carol Marks. She's the host of the program, and here is A Conversation with Valerie Plame, widely known as the key player in the real-life drama of a CIA covert operative whose cover was intentionally exposed by members of the Bush administration in 2003. She's going to talk to Carol about her new novel titled Blowback, a Vanessa Pearson novel, published by Blue Rider Press.
Now, what made you decide to take what you learned in the field and at CIA headquarters and turn it into a fictional espionage novel?
Well, I honestly got really tired of how female CIA ops officers are portrayed in the popular media, popular culture. They're usually over-sexualized and too much physicality. I thought you could really show a much more realistic character and still be entertaining. So that was part of it, and my publisher with whom I had done Fair Game with, David Rosenthal, moved over to Penguin and started a new imprint, Blue Rider Press, and suggested, hey, why do you think about doing a spy thriller? So I've got a lot of other things going on, but it sounded like fun, and it has been. It's been wonderful working with Sarah Lovett.
Now, what I like so much about your novel and the CIA agent in it, Vanessa Pearson, is that you made her so credible. She's really smart, but she's human and she makes mistakes. And, by the way, what kind of personality is the CIA looking for when they go to pick its operations officers?
Well, specifically, I don't know if you're familiar, there's something called the Myers-Briggs, test that they give to a lot of people in the corporate world, and there's a specific personality type, which is a very small percentage of the population. It's called ENTJ, which stands for extrovert thinking, extrovert intuitive thinking judgmental, and it's a particular personality type that tends to do really well in operations, and I guess I was one of those.
I think so. And I think it's also fair to say that the CIA agent, Vanessa Pearson, is perhaps a younger version of you, and she also chases undercover, as you did, people and organizations who are trying to procure nuclear weapons and make nuclear bombs, and she's hunting an elusive nuclear arms dealer and criminal mastermind named Boot. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Mm-hmm. He's also called the Ghost. And he just happens to be assassinating her informants one after the other. That's not nice.
Yeah. Thank goodness that never happened to me. But Boot was in part inspired by the nuclear entrepreneur, A.Q. Khan, who sold nuclear technology basically to anyone who had the means to do so. It was really amoral character. And, of course, we're dealing right now with a potential nuclear Iran, and this is an issue that I care passionately about, so it was an easy process to make that the central element of the first book.
Now, in Blowback, Vanessa has started her hunt for Boot, and she wants to capture him dead or alive, and that means her cover, her career, her life are all at the greatest risk, and I just love the book, so I hope it's true that Vanessa and her love interest, CIA agent David Corey, are going to be coming back in another novel.
Yes, of course. But my husband, carefully watches the manuscript, make sure the sex is not,
It's discreet. It's discreet.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
But, they're a great combination. And in order to find out if they wind up together, I'm just going to have to keep reading your books in the series. Now, you're currently doing some very important work to promote nuclear counterproliferation.
Yes.
So can you tell us about the organization you're involved with, Global Zero? What's its mission and how many world leaders belong to it?
With pleasure, because it's something I care about deeply. They are really an international organization and have the likes of Queen Noor, Tony Blair, Gorbachev, Baker, George Shultz. It's across the board. And then also not just at that level, but also into former generals and diplomats and students that believe we just can't continue the way we are. Nuclear weapons are not keeping us any safer. We have been extraordinarily lucky thus far not to have a miscalculation or an accident. And they have had already some real successes. They were a really important piece of getting the second SALT treaty, the renewed START treaty, I should say, passed by the Senate 2 years ago. And Russia and the United States, and I know President Obama personally, finds this the reduction of nuclear weapons to be something that will be part of his legacy.
Absolutely. Now, any advice about what our listeners can do to stop the spread of nuclear weapons to the black market and secure, we need to secure our nuclear materials?
I would suggest have them go to globalzero.org, that's our website, how to get involved, what it's about, get and to inform yourself. It is really well done. Michael Douglas has been very generous with his time and is very engaged. So it's something I'm really proud to be part of.
And as you have said so well that it will always stick in my mind, if we don't get this matter, getting nuclear proliferation under control and do away with it, really nothing else that we can talk about or think about or live is going to matter.
I say that a lot. Absolutely. For all the problems that we have, if we do not take care of this, nothing else matters. It pales by comparison to a nuclear weapon going off in any city in any part of the world.
Now, finally, Valerie, do you think that being a secret agent for the CIA is a career you'd recommend for a young woman, or is it still very much a man's world that women are going to
enter? Well, it is a man's world, but I wouldn't hesitate to recommend it. When I speak with university students, whatever I'm speaking on, national security or whatever it might be, I really encourage our young people, especially the women, to consider a career in public service. We have so many challenges facing us. We really need the best and the brightest, and I loved what I did.
And one more question, one other myth I want to dispel, and that is the fact that CIA agents operate alone, but they don't.
No, that is a fallacy. It's much more dramatic that way to have a central character, of course, but it really is a team effort. Everyone brings their talents to bear to a successful operation. And it in the case of, say, Bin Laden, unlike what the movie Zero Dark 30 depicted, it was a team of, in some cases, dozens of people over several years with really patient and creative and good operational creativity that led to his finding Bin Laden.
That's Valerie Plame in conversation with Carol Marks. Her book is titled Blowback, a Vanessa Pearson novel published by Blue Rider Press. Go to globalzero.org for more information. Kevin Casey is next from Talkers, and then back to Steve Fassberg from the original Brooklyn Water Bagel Company when A Touch of Gray continues.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. Speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engines.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do. And I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation's struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We're joined at this point in the program by Kevin Casey. He's a senior correspondent on A Touch of Gray, but he's also the vice president and executive editor of the radio industry trade publication Talkers. And we put the curtain aside and we take a peek behind the scenes and talk media or just talk about popular culture. Kevin, I've been meaning to ask you, is there anything left called general American speech? Back in the old days, it was very important for radio announcers to sound like they came from anywhere as opposed to any one place. Does that still exist?
You know, I think it does to a certain extent. I think that, you know, regional, obviously, talk show hosts can have their local accents, and that's fine. But in general, I think if you talk to a linguist or someone who studies this sort of thing, they would tell you that more and more people are becoming Midwesternized. In fact, I know more and more people along the coasts who don't have typical coastal accents, and I think you find that true in broadcasting as well. Obviously, you were almost always desire to have the non-effectual Midwestern, accent, if you will.
You know what I find funny is I could tell not what region people come from, but what age group they come from by the
accent of the decades. As a matter of fact, now you hear a lot of 30 and 40 year old women sounding like what teenage girls sounded like back during the Valley Girl thing. Like, wah, 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 wah. I'm sorry, I don't mean to make fun. But if you go and you watch old movies, you see that in different eras of the 20th century, they had different ways of talking. Like back in the 30s, they used to talk like this. Hey, you're really quite a guy. Yeah, it's a swell, you know? And, you know, hey, give a dame a break. Come on, I want to cover that story.
Yeah, right. You know? Right. Well, as a child watching those movies, I always wondered, and hearing those old, you know, reruns of those radio broadcasts, I always wondered if real people talked that way or if they were just the actors talked that way.
Well, that's an interesting question, and that's one that's really hard to determine. But, well, you listen to the old speeches, my friends, the only thing we have to fear is, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Very interesting indeed. Well, Kevin, good talking to you. Thank you very much for joining us. And folks, if you want to see what's going on in the world of radio, check out talkers.com. Talk media, talk radio, talk television, talk internet, talk satellite. It's all there behind the scenes, an industrial view of that particular business. Kevin Casey, thank you. I'm Michael Harrison. A Touch of Gray continues in just a moment.
Did you know? An estimated 16 million Americans suffer from a chronic inflammatory facial condition called rosacea, and most of them don't know it. Often mistaken for acne, there are many signs and symptoms of rosacea besides facial redness, pimples, and visible blood vessels. Other symptoms may include burning, stinging, swelling, and even enlargement of the nose. Rosacea can also affect the eyes, causing a bloodshot appearance and irritation that could lead to vision loss. Any one of these signs and symptoms can mean rosacea, and without medical help, it can become increasingly severe and wreak havoc on your personal and professional life. Rosacea typically appears any time after age 30. So if you experience any sign of rosacea, see a dermatologist for diagnosis and treatment. Or for more information, visit the National Rosacea Society at rosacea.org.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and it's time to get back to our conversation with the CEO and founder of the original Brooklyn Water Bagel Company. His name is Steve Fassberg. Steve, you really must be very proud of what you've accomplished. I detect a lot of passion in your voice.
You know, as the founder of the company, I'm very proud of it. I'm proud of the opportunities we've created for a lot of people that are taking a ride with us, and it is a lot of fun, so I'm very fortunate. I never take it for granted.
What about your connection with Larry King? How did that come about?
Okay, this is interesting. Larry was introduced to me by one of my first customers that came to my founding store in Delray Beach. His name was Steve Lieber. Steve Lieber is a very interesting guy. He was the guy that worked for William Morris for many years and handled all the rock groups. He's the guy that handled the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, believe it or not. He owns the AC/DC catalog. He managed Aerosmith. He created Beatlemania. He brought the Moscow Circus here. Very impressive guy. So one day he's sitting in my restaurant, and it's like a month after I opened up, and, you know, very manicured looking guy, very, very, you know, astute. And he calls me over and he says, you ever hear of the Beatles? And I said, I'm busy. He says, you ever hear of Aerosmith? I said, I'm busy. He said, well, I can help you build this company. He says, I just don't want to invest. I can really help you. He says, why don't you have your assistant call me during the week? And clearly I thought this guy has lost it. I mean, I'm busy. It's the first few weeks being open. And this guy's asking me if I've heard of the Beatles. I mean, it sounds a little far-fetched. I thought for sure he might have escaped from a mental hospital. And in any case, it turns out he's a legitimate guy, and he has all these contacts in the media, and he was a very, very well-renowned guy. Nothing worked in the rock and roll world without him in the 70s, him and this guy by the name of David Krebs. Anybody who's in the music business knows. And he said, we need to get you a spokesperson. We need to get you someone who embodies Brooklyn, someone who is globally recognized, somebody who believes in the brand, who really, you know, can give you the credibility that a company like this with this type of product really needs. And I said, well, who do you think? So he went to the wall where all the famous people from Brooklyn are. We went across, you know, we looked at everybody that was friend there, and he's like, Larry King. I mean, he was on CNN every night at the time, and
sure,
he was being to 220 countries. Obviously, a very proud Brooklynite with a lot of reach. And he says, "I'm going to fly out to meet Larry, and I'm going to see if he wants to be involved, and I'm going to take some bagels with me." So we gave him a care package. He flew out to Beverly Hills, met with Larry. Larry said the product's amazing. He wanted to meet me. I flew out the following week. We had lunch. We told him all about my plans and what I was looking to do, and one thing led to another, and then we ended up sitting with Bert Fields, who's the guy who, you know, is the A-list attorney to everybody, and got Bert to agree that, you know, it was something that Larry wanted to do, even though Bert really was not really crazy about it. And we walked out with a deal, and, you know, Larry became the spokesperson. That's exactly how it happened.
Well, Larry is a perfect spokesperson for it. He has that Brooklyn sound, and yet he speaks beautifully.
Yeah. And he's genuine, and he hasn't gone behind a lot of products. And, you know, he typifies, you know, what credibility. I mean, he's not the kind of guy that just, you know, looks to do something for the sake of doing it. So, you know, he said, I got to taste it. I want to see the people involved. I want to make sure before I put my name on it that it's something I believe in. So he's here for the right reasons. He's here because he wants to be.
I remember when I was a kid growing up in Brooklyn, and bagels were an ethnic thing, and
mm-hmm.
basically only Jewish people ate bagels. It was
mm-hmm.
even kind of synonymous with being
mm-hmm.
Jewish ate bagels.
Right.
Now they sell bagels at Dunkin' Donuts. And I mean, it's like,
right?
It's a
right.
common thing. The original bagels that I remember as a kid were smaller, and they had nothing. They were no flavors. They were just bagels.
They started, I think, in Russia. I mean, and they're supposed to, you know, typify the circle of life. That's, I mean, if you know the whole history of bagels, you can read about it on our website. But you know, bread and water has been around forever, and that's something that's not going out of style.
I think you're right. I think it did start in Russia, and I think a lot of the immigrants that came to this country in the early 20th century brought it with them. What about the rest of the world, though? I mean, as we've mentioned, bagels are everywhere, but is there interest in bagels in other parts of the world today?
If you look at the opportunities that are, you know, globally, if you look at India, which is a huge footprint, much bigger than the U.S., I mean, they're vegetarians. They eat nothing but bread products. They have a water problem. They love westernized concepts and franchising. So, you know, in a place like India, you could pop 1,000 units in there and not even be a pin dot. China has a huge water problem as well. You know, so there's so much opportunity. And to your point, it's not an ethnic issue. It's like, you know, only Italian people eat pizza, only Asian people eat Chinese. It doesn't make sense. It's a global product that's the simplicity of bread and water. And that's why this is so scalable and so easy to really grow it, because you're not looking, it's not a 100-item menu with a lot of different intricate, you know, necessity for a chef or a line cook or a sous chef. You don't need any kind of training. I mean, you need to follow directions. Anybody can learn how to make perfect bagels in 2 days of training. And that's sort of our McDonald's hamburger system for bagels.
Yeah.
It's about the simplicity of how it can be recreated and the integrity of the products always maintained. That's why McDonald's has succeeded at the level it has globally, because their system is better than the people. No matter where you go, that product, your expectation is met because of the system they've put in place.
What are the most popular kinds of bagels now, though, in terms
number
of...
Number one's always plain, believe it or not.
Really?
It's not that exciting, but plain is plain. It's always been number one. Number two, since the history of time, has always been everything, of those who make it. And number three is sesame. And it's funny, but no matter where you go, north, south, east, west, that's the mix. It's always plain. Everything sesame. Then, of course, as you get into California, they want the avocados and the sun-dried tomatoes and the organics and the whole grains. And as you go to college campuses, they want the blueberries and the chocolate chips. So, you know, we have a core, but as you get, you know, your regionality, as you go north, west, east, and south, you try to conform to whatever that region really, you know, expects. You don't try to, force feed them something that, you know, you eat in Brooklyn. I mean, we have a core, but we also recognize you need to be very, you know, aware of what the region, you know, taste profile looks like. So really, it's really about giving people what they want at a superior price point and a superior product. And, you know, for what it's worth, I mean, people will wait 20 minutes online on the weekend in all the stores for this product. And I don't wait online for anything. I don't use coupons for anything. I'm a convenience guy. I mean, I just want what I want when I want it. So I built this model assuming everyone was like me and tried to raise the bar in that sense. But the fact of the matter is people are passionate about the product because they will drive 10 miles, they will wait 20 minutes, and they will put them in their freezer, you know, and they're good for up to 6 months if you freeze them and you reheat them the right way. So, and they bring them everywhere they go. We even have people into Florida stores bringing them back to New York. So, I mean, the fact of the matter is we think we surpassed the bar is what a classic product is.
Bringing New York bagels back to New York from Florida. Yep. Florida versions of New York bagels. It's kind of funny. You know, my favorite are the salt bagels, the ones with salt, because they remind me of the pretzels that they sell on the streets in New York, which I never like to have the pretzels on the streets of New York because they're all exposed and you don't know who's handled them. The greatest tasting thing in the world are the New York street pretzels, except they're probably the most dangerous. So the closest thing you can come to that is a good salt bagel.
Yeah, but nothing really hurt you that badly, and that crispy, you know, that burnt taste with the charcoal, that's classic, right?
Absolutely. So that's a whole other thing. You know what Jewish product is just waiting to become like bagels? Matzah. The matzah is the most unappreciated secret.
You know something? We put a little hummus on there. Maybe you got something. You have a new health food, next health food craze, right?
You've got to make matzah there with the water. Because matzah's just, if there's any product that's the water, it's matzah. And, you know, matzah tastes good with everything, and yet it still is a Jewish thing, as opposed to becoming like pizza became, you know, totally non-ethnic and bagels did.
Listen, I'm not a big fan of that, but I mean, look, you know, it's not what I like or dislike. I mean, the thing is, we want to stay away from ethnicity.
Right.
This is about creating a brand and a product that focuses on Brooklyn. Brooklyn's a melting pot of everybody from all over the world.
Absolutely.
I'm a proud Jewish person, but this is not a Jewish concept.
This is about the
globalization of showing people that, you know, superior product, bread and water, great pizza, great bagel, and people that have never had it love it. People that, you know, have never seen a Brooklyn product against, let's say, their local chain see it as being superior. So it's just about, you know, getting it in their hands. You know, we think that once we have you one time, we own you because the product stands so far above everything else in the category. You know, so we're you know, the bakery cafe segment is really wide open for opportunity, whereas burgers are crowded and pizza's crowded and Chinese is crowded and, you know, there's so many people now making chicken, et cetera. You know, the bakery cafe segment is wide open opportunity for someone with a superior product, and we like to think we're going to be able to meet that need and grow the brand accordingly.
Well, I certainly want to point out to those who have not experienced your restaurants that even though you say it's the bakery cafe segment, you have really good food, too, and good sandwiches. And your catering of our two events in Los Angeles, which was attended by radio talk show hosts from around the country, was very well received. And the sandwiches are great. I'm going to give our listeners the information about your website, which contains both information about the history and the products that you serve at the original Brooklyn Water Bagel franchises, but also information for entrepreneurs out there who might be interested in learning more about business opportunities with your company. It has been a pleasure speaking with you, Steve. Thank you very much, and we appreciate your being part of our program and being part of our conferences.
It was my pleasure. Thanks. It was fun, and we'll do it again next year for sure.
And that was a conversation I had with the CEO of the original Brooklyn Water Bagel Company. They are located in Boca Raton, at least the headquarters are. That's where he was when I spoke with him. And his name is Steve Fassberg, very bright entrepreneur indeed. I enjoyed talking with him. And if you want more information, either as a consumer or looking for an opportunity in franchising, it certainly is a unique and interesting concept, go to brooklynwaterbagels.com. That's brooklynwaterbagels.com. I'm Michael Harrison. Steve Fassberg, CEO and founder of the original Brooklyn Water Bagel Company. And if you'd like more information, go to brooklynwaterbagels.com. That's brooklynwaterbagels.com. I'm Michael Harrison. You're listening to A Touch of Gray. We'll continue with Steve Wiseman joining us in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast, and we're joined by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman. Steve has written a number of books, including The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall, and he has the website scamicide.com. Steve's here now to talk about budget cuts affecting health care fraud investigations. Steve?
Thank you, Michael. You know, Michael, one of my favorite sayings is, things aren't as bad as you think. They're worse. And we've been talking about recently the many scams and identity theft problems that are going to be coming from the Affordable Care Act. And I happen to be one of the people who believes that ultimately the Affordable Care Act is going to be a terrific thing for America. But it is fraught with problems, as we've seen just in some of the basic issues with the website, that are going to create difficulties. And one of the bigger difficulties is going to be with fraud and identity theft. But here's what's making it worse. Already there have been major budget and staff cuts in the agencies that are doing the healthcare fraud and abuse investigations. And one of these is, in fact, the Inspector General's office is having a reduction in staff and a reduction in funds dealing with the individual insurance exchanges. And this is going to be the real centerpiece of where identity theft is going to be occurring, because this is where, in all of the states and the federal insurance exchange, where people will be providing personal information into this data hub. And frankly, potential for problems here is going to be really, really significant. There have also been some other areas where this cutback in investigations are going to be a problem. An investigation to determine if nursing homes overuse antipsychotic drugs, treating elderly patients who are just, they try and keep them almost in a zombie type of state. The funds for that have been reduced. There have been reductions in funds for criminals supplying phony medical equipment to people who don't even need this. And here's one of the real problems that I find with this. According to the Office of the Inspector General, and I have every reason to believe this, seeing what history has shown us, their investigations usually return about $8 for every dollar that gets invested. And in point of fact, in the last year or so, before some of these cuts started going in, the Obama administration had been pointing to recoveries of more than $10 billion since 2008. But I'm afraid what you're going to see is this is not going to be happening anymore. I think we're in for a real storm unless Congress, oh my God, as Mark Twain said, the opposite of progress is Congress, can actually do something to restore some of these funds.
Thank you. That was Stephen J.J. Wiseman, Esquire, talking about budget cuts affecting health care fraud investigations. And again, visit Scamicide.com for information to protect you from those scoundrels out there that make our lives difficult. Steve Wiseman, thank you. And thank you, Beverly Santinello on the front line, our producer. And thank you, Carol Marks, the host and founder of the show, Kevin Casey, Steve Wiseman, the entire Touch of Grey broadcast team. On behalf of all of us, I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups.